Dharma talk for today is put yourself in the shoes of others. And to expound on this talk, Bhante will be using five Dhamma verses, Dhammapada verses, from verse 129 to 132. First, I will read them through. All tremble at the rod, all fear death. Comparing others with oneself, one should neither strike nor cause to strike. Dhammapada verse 129. All tremble at the rod. Life is dear to all. Comparing others with oneself, one should neither strike nor cause to strike. Dhammapada verse 130. Whoever seeking his own happiness harms with the rod other pleasure-loving beings experiences no happiness hereafter. Dhammapada verse 131. Whoever seeking his own happiness harms not with rod other pleasure-loving beings experiences happiness hereafter. Dhammapada verse 132. And the last verse. Speak not harshly to anyone. Those thus addressed will retort. Painful indeed is vindictive speech. Blows in exchange may bruise you. Dhammapada verse 133. And now we will invite Bhante to expound on the five verses. Over to you, Bhante.
Put yourself in the shoes of others. Why should you refrain from evil? Why should you do good? All the religions in this world answer these two questions. Many religions answer these questions with reward and punishment system, especially in theocentric religions where the God is in supreme judgment, will judge the people. According to these religions, why certain things are evil, it is because the God has proclaimed that those things are evil and immoral. Why certain things are good, because God has said certain way of behavior is good. So based on this, in theocentric religions, they have reward and punishment system, means you are supposed to behave in a particular way according to moral precepts and the moral rules, and if you behave in that way, you will be rewarded in the heaven. However, if you do not behave according to those rules and regulations and were to break those rules and were to do evil, then you will be punished in the hell. So the God is the central figure and the God will judge and take the actions. So this is the general approach of all the theocentric religions. Now, Buddhism is not a theocentric religion. Buddhism is a homocentric religion. Buddha is not a god or a messenger of a god. He is a human being, but not an ordinary human being, a supreme human being. Extraordinary type of human being. Being so, we can ask the question, how does Buddhism answer this question? why you should refrain from evil and why you should do good. So Buddha also answered these two questions, but without intervention of any god. There are two strong aspects in the teachings of the Buddha when it comes to this particular point. First of all, Buddhism introduced the natural law of action and reaction. This is what we call karmic theory. According to the Buddha's teaching, all our intentional actions have their own consequences. If you were to do wholesome actions, and these wholesome actions produce positive types of karmic force, and they will give their own result, which is pleasant and favorable. And on the other hand, if you were to do negative, destructive, unwholesome types of actions, and through those actions you produce a kind of karmic force, which is negative, destructive, and they also will give their reactions, which is painful, miserable, suffering. So this is the law of the action and reaction. No one is in judgment. This law is natural as gravity. It is natural as any other law in the nature. So the karmic theory that the Buddha teach is not governed by anyone. There's no one who manipulates this system. It's a natural law. So Buddha having taught how this natural law operate in our sentient existence, and he pointed out sabba papa sakarana, it is good for wise human beings to refrain from evil. Kusalasa upasampada, it is good for wise people to do wholesome actions. And he suggests us to avoid evil and do good. That's it. It's up to us. Then of course, as we read a while ago, he also asked us to reflect. Kamma sakomhi, kamma dayadu, kamma yoni, kamma bandhu, kamma patisareno, yang kamman karisami kalyanang papakangwa tassa dayadu bhavissamiti. I'm the owner of my action, heir of my actions, I'm related to my actions, whatever good and bad actions I do, I'm bound to reap their result. So by this teaching, the Buddha encouraged us to refrain from evil and cultivate good. The second aspect the Buddha emphasized why we should refrain from evil or cultivate good is based on the Buddha's teaching of understanding and compassion. So here Buddha asks us to put ourselves in the shoes of the others and understand the situation and evaluate it and react. And it has nothing to do with belief or with the gods, but with our human experience. Of course, the natural law of karma and its effect, we still can relate it to it, we can still see it in this life itself, but it also can go beyond the death. But the second category of justifying or encouragement of the Buddha to do good and refrain from evil is here and now we can relate it. So these five verses related to these two aspects of the Buddha's teaching. And when we go along with this, we will understand it a little bit further and deeper. All the five verses emphasize one important righteous principles that the Buddha proclaimed throughout his life. Without this, you will not be a Buddhist. You may claim to be a Buddhist, but you are not. What is this righteous principle? Upholding non-violence. That is why Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhyami. I observe the training precepts to refrain from killing. This is the first precept. Without observing this first precept, no one can be the true follower of the Buddha. So the non-violence is the first principle, first righteous precepts and principle that every Buddhist uphold. And the Buddha considered this as the highest virtue. That is why he used it as the first precept for monks, nuns, as well as for the lay followers. So these five are also centered around these first righteous principles. However, non-violence has to be understood both by physical and verbal. So both physically and verbally, we have to observe the non-violence. Now let's go through these five. And when we go through these five, you will see it more clearer. The first one, as it is said, Sabbe tasanti dandasse, sabbe bhayanti macchuno. Attanang upamang katva naha neyena ghataye. The first sentence, Sabbe tasanti dandasse. All the living beings tremble at rod. Here, danda means rod, weapon, sticks. So it means all the living beings are trembled, being tortured, being punished, being beaten up. So all the living beings have so much fear and tremble at the rods and weapons. Sabbe bhayanti macchuno, all the living beings have so much fear to die. Attanang upabang katva, you take yourself for an example and put yourself into the shoes of others. And then when you understand, yes, I feel fear, I feel tremble, so you compare yourself with the others, that is why you should not strike or should not kill or become the cause of killing. Naha neya nagate, don't strike or become the cause of a strike. It means don't be the direct cause or immediate indirect cause of the killing or violence. Here Buddha emphasized two great virtues. One is understanding, the other one is compassion. Understanding here, all the living beings are tremble at rods and weapons. All the living beings have fear towards the death. How should we understand this? Buddha says, put yourself into the shoes. If somebody were to try to kill you, do you feel fear? If somebody were to take a gun here and enter this to this shrine with this door, I think many of us will run away. Because we have so much fear, correct? So, when we understand it, it means we empathize ourselves with the others. So we understand the suffering of another human being. We understand the suffering of another living being. So when you see the fear and worry, stress and suffering of another human being, then you have compassion and you will refrain from killing. So understanding and compassion here. So the compassion come into existence based on understanding. So Buddha, when he defined compassion, he said these words, Paradukke sati sadunang hadayang kampanang karotiti karuna. When you see another person or another living being is in suffering, in fear, in agony, in such an occasion, your heart produces a kind of vibration, a kind of force that make you feel to have empathy towards that situation, and then make you move forward to do something to relieve the suffering. So compassion is not passive, it is positive, constructive, and moving forward. Some people, having seen someone else is suffering, might say, "Are you so pity, so poor thing, I feel so sorry," and just walk away. That is not compassion. That is called feeling sad. Feeling sad is negative. It's a negative emotion. But compassion is very positive, very warm. It is very constructive. Compassion will make you take some actions to relieve the suffering. That is why the bodhisattvas, they work tirelessly to relieve the suffering. So here the Buddha emphasized why you should refrain killing, torturing, injuring other living beings because of this understanding and compassion. The second verse emphasizes again understanding and compassion, but here the compassion manifests as a goodwill. The earlier verse, compassion manifests as a kind of force to relieve suffering. Here the compassion manifests as a kind of goodwill, what we like to label as metta. Goodwill is the will that may all the living beings be well and happy. So this will come into existence when you know that all the living beings wish to be happy. So here this verse as it is said, sabbe tasanti dandasse sabbe sang jivitang piyang attanang upamang kattanahane yanagate. Again, the understanding comes as number one statement. All the living beings tremble at rods and weapons. And then he says, the life is dear to every living being. All the living beings want to live. No one wants to die. We want to live. This is the urge of all the living things, living organisms. We want to live. So having understood this, then we produce the inner feelings that may you live longer, may you be well and happy. So this is the manifestation of compassion through understanding, what we would like to label as metta or goodwill. So Buddha says, in this case also, you put yourself into the shoes of the others and ask the questions. Do you like to live? Do you wish to live? Is life dear to you? So if you think that life is so dear and you want to live in the same way, other living beings also want to live, life is dear to every living being. So here you produce metta through understanding. So these two verses give us two strong reasons why we should not do any destruction of life. First is understanding and compassion, and the second is understanding and metta, goodwill. Next two verses again emphasize our own understanding. At the same time, Buddha also point out to the natural law of karma. So here the combination of understanding in relation to the karma. As it is said, sukha kamani bhutani yo dandena vihinsati attano sukamesano pechaso na labate sukang. Whoever seeking his own happiness harms the rod, other pleasure loving beings experience no happiness hereafter. So the most important statement here, sukha kamani bhutani, all the living beings in this world, they are seeking after happiness. They want pleasure, they want happiness. Throughout our life, we have this fundamental nature that all the living beings are going through and experiencing. In one hand, we want to avoid suffering. all the living beings, starting from the insects that you can see on the ground, until up to those big animals like elephants, we all want these two things. In one hand, we want to avoid miseries, sufferings, and danger. We want to avoid all the life, want to avoid danger and miseries and sufferings. So we are running away from suffering. Look at the animals, look at the human beings. We are, every moment we are trying to run away from suffering, physically and mentally. Every time, if you were to sit for meditation, you might see within yourself how you are struggling to run away from miseries and sufferings in your life. You do not need to go anywhere. When you sit somewhere and close your eyes, you will see this within yourself, how you are trying to avoid suffering. Then the other aspect of is, we are running after pleasure. We want pleasure because pleasure is the only means for us to be happy. Ordinary human beings, they do not know any other way to be happy other than enjoying pleasure. Only those follow the Buddha's path might go beyond that level. And those who completed that level is the enlightened ones. They do not need the sensual pleasure in order to be happy. And they are happy beings already. So ordinary human beings and all the animals, we have these two fundamental struggles. In one hand, we are struggling to run away from suffering. On the other hand, we are running after pleasure. So this is the nature of all the sentient existence. So the Buddha pointed out here now, you understand that you are running out, running away from suffering, and you want to be happy. Similarly, so and so also is running away from suffering and wants to be happy. That being the case, you kill other living beings for your own pleasure, for your own satisfaction, seeking only your own satisfaction, and in that process, you will produce a karmic force which go beyond the death, and you will not be happy after the death. You will be born in a place where you will experience the negative consequences of the action. So here Buddha link this understanding into the law of karma. The law of karma is a natural law. So there's nobody who gives punishment and reward. This is the law of its own. It's like gravity, it's like electricity, it's like fire, it's like wind, it's natural. The other verse, this is important one here for the... here it says, Sukha kamani bhutani yo dandena na hinsati attano sukha mesano pecha so labhate sukhaṁ. Whoever seeking his own happiness harms not with rod other pleasure-loving beings experience happiness hereafter. So you might see that here just because you refrain from killing and torturing other living beings that you will experience happiness after the death. But we need to understand the teachings a little bit deeper in a different way. In Buddha's teaching, when you say refrain from killing, it also emphasizes cultivating opposite qualities of it. For example, in five precepts are given as refrain. Refrain from killing, refrain from taking what is not given, refrain from sexual misconduct, refrain from telling lies, refrain from intoxicating drinks and drugs. So all these comes as refrain. But you should not misunderstand, this is only negative and passive. Because it's very well understood in the time of the Buddha, when it is said refrain, it is also emphasized opposite qualities. It means, in order to observe the first precept, refraining from killing is not enough. After refraining from killing, you must live a life of compassionate, having compassion towards living beings. So in many suttas, we come across the Buddha also emphasized the positive aspect of it. For example, in Salayaka Sutta, you might refer, Buddha go through these 10 types of actions of human beings, and he will explain their opposite side. So there you might come across 5 precepts as well. So one, refrain from killing, but live compassionately. One, refrain from taking what is not given, but then live with a generous heart, practicing charity and generosity. One, refrain from telling lies, then dedicate oneself to tell the truthful word and pleasant word. And in this way, refrain from something negative should not be understood, that's it. But it also should be understood that you must dedicate yourself to opposite virtue. So in this case, when Buddha says that those who refrain from torturing, injuring, killing other living beings after death will experience bliss and happiness, he means not only refrain from killing and torturing, but also living a compassionate life. When the compassion arises in your mind, that will manifest through your speech and actions. Those actions are called meritorious actions. And the last one. So these 4 verses here, of course, it's more directly pointing out to the physical actions. The 5th one include even our verbal actions. This is specifically very important because the Buddha here emphasized something that he did not emphasize in other 4. What is this here? He says, do not become or do not start a violence, because can repeat itself. It means suffering should be understood as a wheel. Once you propel this, it will turn. As the Buddha pointed out, ma vocha parusang kanchi vutta pativa deyutang dukkahisarambha kata patidanda seyutang. He says, speak not harshly to anyone. It means you must control yourself first. Don't start scolding somebody first. The reason why, once you scold somebody, that person will retaliate, will scold you back. So you are the one who start the fight here, correct? Then he says, dukkha hisarambha kata. Arguing and fighting will create miseries and sufferings. And those that you speak unpleasantly, or you scold somebody, then that person will scold back. And in this process of argument, it is possible that you might get into a physical violence where you will end up in being bruised or being beaten up by others, or you will beat up others as well. So here, simply what it means, don't start a fight through, specifically through your words first, because usually all the kinds of violence, generally speaking, they first start in the mind, then it comes out from the speech, and then through the actions. This is the general flow of the violence. Violence first start in the mind, then it flows through the speech, and then go to the body. So the Buddha, of course, here, the first thing he's saying, we are talking about the actions here. So he says, do not speak harshly to anyone, because when you speak harshly to somebody, that person might retaliate back, and thereby then you might produce the conditions for the violence where people come to sufferings, bloodshed. So the most important point here again, you should guard yourself first. Don't become the cause of violence. I think this also go very well with the law and order of Because as long as you do not start first, I think you have a ground to be some sort of protection from even from the legal side, I believe. So here, of course, we cover the verbal aspect of the violence. Here also, if you notice, it's your direct experience. So these five verses, look at these five verses. These five verses are talking about something related to your, related to you here and now, not something to be believed. So that is why the Buddha says, put yourself in the shoes of the others. First case, all the living beings tremble at punishment and rods and weapons, they have fear to die. So you understand this as your own experience. So don't cause destruction to the life. Second, he says, all the living beings tremble at rods and weapons, and they wish to live. You also understand it directly because you also wish to live and do not like the rods and weapons. So here Buddha emphasized, refrain from destruction of life, again based on your experience. And third, he says, and all the living beings wish to be happy, because this is also your experience, because you also wish to be happy. And the fourth one also repeat the same thing. And then these two together, of course, Buddha connected with the karma. And then the last one, he says, do not speak harshly, because once you speak harshly, the other person will retaliate, and thereby there can happen a violence. So this is also your own experience. So all these five are related directly to your experience and has nothing to do with your belief. So this is the Buddha's teaching related to the question why you should refrain from evil and why you should do good. Okay, so if you have got any questions, we can spend a bit of time.